All right, final segment of the night here. Samson Tamajani is with Goal Bazan, which is a podcast that really covers the Iranian national team and the Iranian game. We're going to get his insight because, of course, we continue on with the group opponents with the U.S., Iran group with the United States. Samson, thank you so much for coming on the show.
No, it's my pleasure, Glenn. It's always a pleasure listening to you and then now joining you as part of our podcast, Goal Bazan.
Yeah, full disclosure, Samson and I have known each other for quite some time. I've known his father, and of course, you were working at the same radio station in Houston with me. So it's great to have you on. And mention your podcast again one more time, because I think U.S. fans are going to be interested in kind of trying to follow and get a little bit more information on the Asian champions.
Yeah, definitely. We're at Goal Bazan, G-O-L-B-E-Z-A-N. We're the main, I think, only English language podcast dedicated to Iranian soccer. We have members in several different countries with extensive blogging and writing backgrounds, and we interview a lot of players and coaches and journalists from other countries as well.
All right, let's get into it because I want to spend 10 minutes here and I really want to give people a better picture of Iran. Let's first start with their playing style. What's their purpose of play? What's their playing style in your opinion?
It's a lot of finesse, I think. It's a little bit of a contrast with its current coaching style, more developed attacking with its current coach, Croatian Dragan Skosic. Before, Iran were coached for a good 8 years, including the 2014 and 2018 World Cup by Carlos Queiroz, who a lot of international fans remember as the 2010 Portugal World Cup coach and longtime right-hand man to Sir Alex Ferguson. And he was very emphatically for establishing defensive pressure first. And I think that's what led to very close matches in 2014 with Argentina, and then in 2018 with Spain and that draw with Portugal, in which Iran were just inches away from advancing from that group. They had a 92nd minute near miss to beat Portugal and ended in a draw.
Samson Tamajani joining us here. Okay, so Dragan Skosic, is it defense first?
No, I think he's more balanced. He's definitely put more emphasis on developing more of emphasizing more on the counter attacks and building up it really emphasizing the role of Iran's star strikers, Sardar Azmoun, who just moved from Zenit St. Petersburg to Bayer Leverkusen, who has Champions League experience, as well as Mehdi Taremi, who is one of the main strikers for FC Porto, who scored, I believe, really the Champions League goal of the season last year, a bicycle kick in stoppage time against Chelsea.
Talk about, do they like to pressure the ball higher up the field, the middle of the field? Is it a blend? Is it a mix? Or will we see a pretty vivid sort of deeper defending team that invites people in and then they're trying to break out?
I think there's a lot of questions still on that, Glenn, because the coach has been apart only since really the latter stages of the second to last round of qualifying and then the last round of qualifying. He only lost one match at South Korea because of numerous injuries and COVID results coming back positive that kind of caught them blindsided. But he hasn't been all that challenged beyond that in terms of, maybe a couple friendlies. They played Bosnia 1-2-0, but they didn't have Edin Dzeko. There's still a lot of questions. There is a lot of pressure on the Federation to schedule some friendlies, good friendlies in preparation for the World Cup to really test out this squad and see what this coaching staff is made of so that we do have those answers.
Yeah, that's really interesting to me. And we're talking to Samson Tamajani. That's really interesting to me because, look, qualification in Asia is certainly a lot different than playing European teams. And that's why I'm curious. You answered a good part of that there by saying they're going to try to get some friendlies. it's no different for the U.S. when they're going to play European competition after playing in CONCACAF. So I'm curious to that. But with your eye, having watched some of these games, how did they play from a standpoint of, look, when they're playing in qualification in Asia, were they pressuring teams higher up the field? Were they getting after them? Or were they simply sitting back, absorbing, and trying to break out?
I think there was a little bit of both, but especially absorbing, especially towards the later stages of games, they would welcome a little bit of pressure before really pressing on counterattacks. Not many set piece goals at all to speak of. It was mainly just things like counterattack and a little bit of buildup, but really relying on talent. The coaching staff of Dragon Skocic is not one to speak a lot of tactically, but relying a lot on the talent, which Iran has built up in recent years, with most of their talent coming from big European leagues.
Yes, much like the U.S. Okay, we're talking to Samson Tamjani. We're trying to get a bit of a finger and a little bit more understanding of Iran. Who are some of the biggest challengers to Iran in qualifying? And what would you say was one of their, you know, sort of platform moment games in qualification?
Well, just like in the 2018 process, Iran dominated. Very few blemishes on paper, but at times were challenged by they had to come back at Lebanon to win a game in which they were perhaps asleep most of the game. They were challenged a good bit by South Korea, which has gotten a lot better. But overall, Iran, for the second qualifying process in a row, won first place in their group and are the top-ranked team in Asia. And despite being looked at as a juggernaut in Asia, still, of course, and it's no secret that they're being overlooked internationally, and there's still that chip on their shoulders to really prove themselves, even if those in Asia know that they are, you know, the stronger sides there.
Currently ranked number 21 in the world. Okay, so when Iran plays England with, you know, the likes of Harry Kane, Raheem Sterling, all these guys that are playing in the Premier League, Phil Foden, Declan Rice, potential for them to be overawed?
You'd think that, and that would be fair. But again, a lot of these players played in 2018, some in 2014. They faced the likes of Messi, Ronaldo, all these main players for these big countries. So I think these challenges are nothing new. That being said, they'll have to step up. They'll have to develop their game, stay healthy in the months leading up, and hope that they're peaking in the right time, because they will face that pressure from the wings, especially against England. They'll face the pressure in the air. They'll be challenged in ways that they have not seen since that 2018 World Cup.
Samson Tamjani joining us. Okay, here's what the U.S. coach, Greg Berhalter, said. Samson said, quote, "I think it's about soccer at the end of the day, and the best sign of friendship that you can make is competing hard on the field in a fair way, and that is what the World Cup is all about." And I reference that based on, you know, there will be a ton of people in the media on both sides that are going to want to gin this up geopolitically. I don't think there's any question. To me, it's kind of low-hanging fruit at the end of the day. I don't want politics ever mixing with the sport. I know that's a hard thing to sort of fend off these days. What are your thoughts on that comment by Berhalter?
Yeah, I think it's spot on, because there's really no sense of pressure other than that generated by the media of anything political. At the end of the day, it's still going to be a huge challenge, and all the motivation for the players comes from the fact that, you know, they're still being overlooked on the international stage, and they have that chip on the shoulder of never having advanced in the World Cup past the group stage, unlike Saudi Arabia, Japan, and Korea, all teams that they have a history of beating in Asia. So that's weighing heavily on them, as well as, you know, playing with and against a lot of these Americans and British players in their leagues in England and Spain and so on. So that itself supplies enough motivation, because they're just being overlooked as usual, just not as much this time.
Yeah, that makes them a dangerous team. And look, all the players are going to sidestep the political issue of this thing if people are trying to gin that up and take people into it. I have a funny story for you, because in 98, I was cutting my teeth in broadcasting. I was just kind of getting started. I was working on the World Cup, actually. And I did play professionally against Arash Daniford, who was a very, very talented Iranian national team player way before your time, Sampson. But that huge game between the U.S. and the group stages at the 98 World Cup, Iran would win that 2-1. And I was driving back from the studios in L.A. And, of course, there's a huge, huge Persian-Iranian community there, all spilling out on the streets. So I had to try to drive through people very slowly. And it was an incredible experience. I've basically never forgotten it. All right, give me going back, and I know you've mentioned some players already, Tarimi. What about Hajsafi, the captain? Take us into a couple more players here before we let you go.
Hajsafi is, safe to say, past the prime of his career. When he has played, he hasn't been as productive. It's a little bit disappointing. The main captain when he is playing is Alireza Jahanbakhsh, who was playing with Brighton for a couple seasons, scored a bicycle kick against Chelsea. If you notice, there's kind of a trend of Iranians scoring bicycles against Chelsea. He's now playing with Feyenoord in the Netherlands. Other players that come to mind, of course, Sardar Azmoun, who's now with Bayer Leverkusen. Two goalkeepers that are battling out. One is the son of the goalie in that 1998 match, Amir Abedzadeh. He's playing very well in the Liga Segunda in Spain, although he could have, if he wanted to, made a move to be in the first division in Portugal or Spain. And then the Boavista keeper on loan from Antwerp, Alireza Behrangvand, he saved the penalty in the 2018 match against Portugal. Both are very commanding number ones for Iran. And then in between that, the team really plays as a unit in the midfield and defensively in terms of trying to overwhelm any attacker. So they definitely one of the more unified teams that you'll see in the World Cup, not just tactically, but really passionately. They play for their nation. They play for, maybe 100 million abroad who will be cheering them. Representing their country and their culture, really.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very interesting matchup with the U.S. U.S. and Greg Berhalter are not going to look past Iran. Anybody who does would be foolish in a World Cup. Basically, by listening to you and mentioning the clubs that these guys are playing on, they're experienced footballers. I don't think there's any question about that. Before we let you go, Sampson, remind us where we get the podcast. Where can people follow you?
Yeah, we're at Gol Bezan. That's goal spelled like the Spanish way, G-O-L-B-E-Z-A-N. We're on YouTube, Spotify, SoundCloud, Twitter, Instagram, the whole nine yards. We're on everything at that username.
And what about you? Anything on your own individually?
Well, I have my professional account at Sampson Reports, but that's for my local television reporting, not so much on the soccer side of things. But mainly I refer to Gol Bezan. We're generating content every day. It's going to be a busy next 8 months for us.
Yeah, and a fun one too. Sampson Tamjani, Gol Bezan, thank you so much for the insight. We appreciate it. I'm sure my listeners do as well. Sampson, have a good one. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much, Glenn.